Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in or if you've been listening already, we appreciate all of that. Every single little bit of that we appreciate very much. Thank you. You know one thing, folks. You can always count on me to let you know how much I appreciate your business. And I hope that when you hear me doing this all the time, thank you for coming back. Thank you for joining me. You know, welcome back, whatever. I hope you won't say, well, yeah, he's got a radio show. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is my business. This show is one of my storefronts. You're my customers. And I'm serving you. And so when you hear me doing these things, that's what you should be doing in your business. That's what you should be training your employees to do. When your customers come in the door, when your stakeholders come in the door, like you are coming in mine right now, you should be saying, you should be loving these folks up and letting them know how much you're glad they're there. Be as outrageous as I am sometime about how happy you are that these people are with you. And I'll get off my soapbox now, but I just think that sometimes I feel like I'm on a one man crusade to get small businesses to realize how incredibly important customers are, and we can't take them for granted. We can't let anybody take them for granted. Not the owners, not the employees, not the managers. Nobody can take these folks for granted, because never in the history of mankind have these people had more places where they can get what it is that you sell. And if they come in your door, if they call you, whatever they do, it's a special moment. And I think you should let them know how much you appreciate that. Rick Pinion understands that, because I promise you, Rick takes care of his customers. He loves his clients up. Rick is the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. He is the financial planning expert of our Brain Trust, and he's here with some good stuff. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always good to be back, especially the day before Thanksgiving.
How about that? A lot of things to be thankful for, don't we?
Rick.
Rick, and by the way, folks, Rick is, as we always have to do, as we always do when Rick joins us, Rick is a financial planner. He's a registered representative. He is a person who deals in securities, in the securities industry. And as you know, caveat emptor doesn't cut it there. He lives in a world of full disclosure. And having with that in mind, he has something he has to say. It's required by law, basically, for him to say what he's about to say. And it's very instructive, too, and I hope you'll listen. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, thank you, Jim. Let me proceed. First of all, I want to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional, your financial advisor, before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG Advisor Group, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and AIG are not directly related. And also, listeners should be reminded that there's risk involved in all investments, including the possibility of fluctuation of principal. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And folks, if your financial planner doesn't deal with you with that level of full disclosure, then you probably need to be a little cautious. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, I think it's time to have a serious discussion.
Well, and how would you broach that subject with a financial planner or someone who's managing your finances with you, helping you do that? How would you say to them that you were concerned that they weren't being as they weren't disclosing, or they were being a little fast and loose with the disclosure? What would you say to them?
Well, the first question I would ask them is their relationship to you one of a fiduciary responsibility on behalf of your planner? If the planner is a registered investment advisor, then under the 1940 Act, they have a fiduciary responsibility to you. And that fiduciary responsibility is very serious, because it says that they have to provide a high level of care to you. If that's not there, then obviously you've got a problem.
So there can be no conflicts between what between their there can be no conflicts between their goals and your goals.
In other words, your interests have to always come first as a client.
That's what fiduciary means, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the same relationship you have with your doctor, with a lawyer, with a CPA. Most professionals have that fiduciary responsibility. And in a court of law, they take that very seriously.
Just like an attorney is your advocate in court or in a contract, your financial planner is supposed to be your advocate in the marketplace, in the financial marketplace.
Yeah, and demands a high degree of care.
Right. And so if you see them, you know, you should have an antenna up a little bit, folks, for the, you know, if you start getting a little whiff that they're not, that they may be a little more concerned about their own well-being than your well-being, then you might want to check things out a little bit more. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about buy-sell agreements. How do you fund them? Who needs them? And how do you structure them? With Rick Pinion, it's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And there's that little band from Texas bringing us in. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. He's a financial planning expert in our brain trust. And Phil, I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else. Rick is our guy. Rick is, there are a lot of people out there, Rick, who have businesses with partners. And are there other scenarios? Maybe they're not call partners. Maybe it's a different kind of an ownership relationship. And it's never occurred to them that one day they might actually be in business with that person's spouse or their parents or their children or their ex-spouse. It's never occurred to them that that might happen, or that they might get sick and they might want to, you know, that maybe one of them they wouldn't necessarily sell the business or divest themselves of the business at the same time. There are a lot of different scenarios around which you would need a buy-sell agreement, right?
Yeah, in fact, if we can create a visual image for the listeners, you can imagine a conference table where people are sitting around the conference table, and let's say the owner has just passed away or become disabled, and they're all sitting there looking a little bit nervous, and at the head of the table there's a child sitting there.
A six-year-old child.
Yeah, playing with her toys.
Yeah. And who's the child, the new owner?
This would be, let's say, the daughter of the owner, who's now the new owner.
Right.
Thrust into that responsibility.
Or worse, it's the ex-wife of the deceased person who you know didn't have a will or the will that he had still left everything to the ex-wife, and now she or he is sitting there, the ex-spouse I should say, is sitting there in that chair.
You know, it's funny, and we talk about if this should happen, and yet most business people are so busy running their businesses they don't think about the possibility that one day they're going to walk out and not come back in. And what's going to happen to their business they've worked so hard to build, and they don't have any plans in effect, where if they do have a plan, many times it's unfunded. So they may have a buy-sell agreement, but there's no funding. There's no insurance to cover cover the cost of buying out the stock.
What are the different scenarios for when you need a buy-sell agreement? Who are the people who need buy-sell to think about buy-sell agreements? Well, if you're a sole proprietor, you don't need a buy-sell agreement, right?
Right. I would think the main thing that comes up is whenever there's a partnership arrangement where there's, you know, several key people in the organization, where if there's a corporation, any time that there's stock and you wonder where that stock's going to wind up or where that business interest is going to wind up and how those creditors are going to feel, you know, if there's no leadership in the company.
You know, there are companies where, in regardless of the structure, whether it's a general partnership or a corporation or just a regular partnership, those are the obvious ones. But then there are plenty of companies out there where the founder of the company still owns most of the stock, but over the years he's given 5% to one or two or three members of the company. employees in the company, and those people are minority shareholders. They're essentially partners now, aren't they?
That's true. Yeah.
But they're not. But they don't. They don't think of themselves as partners in terms of being equal partners. But they in situations like that, you still need a buy-sell agreement, don't you?
Yeah, and I think of the word transition. In other words, do we have an orderly transition, or do we have an acrimonious transition where people get mad at each other and upset, and they start pulling at the corporation from different levels, and eventually it dissolves. The corporation dissolves. It ends.
Would the word legacy be a good word to incorporate into a discussion about something like this? You know, hey, John, you built this company from nothing, and you've allowed us to be part of it, and we appreciate that. What do you want your legacy to be when you're no longer with us? We all know that we're all going to go one of these days. When you're no longer with us, what do you want that legacy to be? How would you like to think this company would continue after you're gone? Get them to thinking about that first. What do you think?
I like that. In fact, I like asking strategic questions of the business owner, like legacy. You know, in other words, asking them, if something were to happen to you, John, who's going to take over your company?
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of pause and let them reflect a little bit upon that, because most people never thought that through.
Well, but and also, a lot of people don't want to deal with that. I mean, they don't like dealing with that, and they don't. I mean, small business owners are notorious for putting off something like that.
And by the way, not necessarily just death. It could also be disability. You know, a person
right.
who gets sick. I think most people can relate to getting hurt mm-hmm. than anything else, because everybody's been hurt at one time in their life. But suppose a person gets seriously hurt or damaged and they can't come back for a while. Who's going to be running the company? How long will it be until they decide that they're not coming back? Maybe they're so hurt that they can't come back.
So what? Let's say we got this person's attention. What does this structure look like?
Well, basically, it's a legal document. In other words, when a person sets up a buy-sell agreement, they cover the contingencies. And in the buy-sell agreement, they arrive at a price. You know, they have an evaluation of their business to see mm-hmm. what it's worth, their business interests. They say who's going to be able to buy the company or inherit that stock, and where's the money going to come from? Because a lot of these things are very expensive for a person to buy a business. As you
do they know. Also come up with a future value indicator, some kind of a calculator to determine, you know, if all this happens in 20 years, what it will be worth?
Yeah, they can put in what they call an inflation adjuster in the contract.
Right. Or a mechanism to revalue the company, whatever?
Yeah, periodically.
Uh-huh, may have to do that because, but the main thing, folks, is to get some kind of document in force. And you get attorneys to help you with that, to write the document
up? And you also want to cover any dispute resolution.
Right. How do you handle a dispute? That's exactly right. And we're going to talk about that and how to fund a buy-sell agreement with Rick Pinion right after these messages. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Welcome back. A little Steely Dan for you. Doesn't get any better than that. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Rick Pinion, the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. Rick, give us your website, please.
Yeah. Let's see. The first website is www.pinion, P-I-N-I-O-N, Pinion Financial, one word, .com.
PinionFinancial.com. All right. And you got another one?
Yeah, I have one for the health insurance and life insurance, and that's www.e, like the letter E, eHealth, and that's A-N-D, life.com.
All right. Now, and by the way, folks, Rick's business is his practice is in the Chicago in the Washington area. I've got Chicago in my mind for some reason today, Rick. In the Washington area, he's out in Bethesda, Maryland, hard by to our nation's capital. But if someone needed any help in another part of the country, I know you'd be glad to help them. At least refer them to a good financial planner.
In fact, maybe I should give my 800 number out. That's
go ahead.
Okay.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
It's 1-800-296-4427.
Rick, let's get back to this buy-sell agreement, and we get an attorney to help us write it up. We talk to an attorney about the document, and then we talk to someone like you to someone who does what you do, a financial planning expert, to help them structure the funding of this. Because if you and I have a buy-sell agreement, we agree that the business is worth $1 million, and over the next 5 years, it's going to be worth another $200,000, so $1.2 million. And, you know, the ones that I've seen is where they've said, okay, why don't we go on out to when we're likely to want to retire, maybe 20 years, maybe 10 years or whatever. Let's come up with what we think the business will be worth then, and then let's structure a financial instrument to cover that. What do you think?
Yeah, in fact, we now have the products and the services, Jim, to do that. So, for example, we can incorporate, let's take, for example, the funded buy-sell agreement when someone passes away. We can now structure a life insurance program that increases over time to keep up with inflation. Many policies will do that today, so it's not static.
So I could actually buy a policy at X dollars right now, and 10 years from now, it would actually increase in death benefit?
Yeah, has an increasing death benefit every year.
And does the premium go up commensurate with that?
The premium stays level.
Oh.
So that we now have those available. And the same is true for the disability policies to fund in case of a disability. They also have increasing benefits. So these are available. You just have to know where to find them and who to talk to get them. And you're right about the attorney. Only the attorney can draft the document because only they can practice law.
Right. So you need to get a team here. You need to get maybe your accountant involved,
yeah,
and your financial planner, and your law firm that you deal with.
It's a team effort because the CPA has to come up with an evaluation of your business.
If I don't have an attorney who does this kind of thing, if my attorney, you know, I'm not confident that they have that ability. Can the financial planner recommend someone who's a pretty good buy sell agreement attorney?
Yeah, you know, the most.
This is not something that attorneys may not deal with every day.
Right. You need to get a reference or a referral or an introduction to a qualified attorney that's familiar with these things and ask him how many he or she has done. That's going to be the true test.
If I've got an attorney but I don't have a financial planning expert, how do I find that person?
Well, the same way. Ask for references. You can also go to the Financial Planning Association website, FPA, Financial Planning. There's any number of ways that you can find good experts where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing,
I would think an attorney or a CPA would be able to help you because they know that the document that they write and the financial the accounting advice that they give isn't worth anything if it's not funded with an instrument, a financial instrument.
Yeah, otherwise it's just a naked promise.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said. Okay, what else do we need to know about buy-sell agreements?
Well, I think there's several advantages. I mean, first of all, it guarantees a buyer. It establishes, you know, value for the business. Properly funded, it's going to be providing required funds. And most important, it provides a smooth transition, you know, for the business owner. So it's not left up to chance.
It also is a document that banks like to know that you've got this in place, don't they?
Oh, yeah. When you're applying for a loan, they're going to ask you if you have one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, why not? Because the bank doesn't want to take on that added risk of a business going belly up, and then they won't get paid back in terms of the loan.
Right. Absolutely. Rick, thank you for being here. Good job today. Well done on the information. Very good stuff. And have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.